Bonus Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Friday, the 10th of August. Got the date right this week. Last week I said it was June. Wishful thinking. I'm joined in the studio by my fabulous co-host, Mark Goldfinch.
Hello, Amanda. Hello, everybody. Still singing along to the theme tune. I love that song.
I know. It's so cool, isn't it? Thank you for joining us again this week. And our guest in the studio. Now, you know I'm a very excitable person.
You are.
And people know I get excited about all my guests. But you also know, most people out there, how fanatical I am about Port Lim. So I'm even more excited today because our guest is the Short Breaks director of Port Lim, Chris Skelly.
Good morning.
Welcome back. Now, Chris was here last year and he was telling us about all the amazing stuff that goes on at Port Lim and all the accommodations they've got. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They have been busy. You guys have been really busy down there, haven't you?
We certainly have. Yes, we haven't stopped for a moment.
Crazy busy. And we're going to be hearing from Chris about all the amazing new accommodations they've got and animals as well, popping up all over the place.
Oh, yes. New animals, new species.
It's amazing. So we really, really got so much to hear from Chris. But we do, we have got lots to cover as well. We've got loads of tweets coming in. We've got loads of events to talk about. It's like a busy, busy show
Gazillions
today.
Gazillions of tweets.
So we're going to get straight in there. We want to say thank you to this week's show sponsors, who are the guys at 10 Intelligence, helping you with your cybersecurity for you and your business. Thank you guys for sponsoring the show this month. If you want to contact us, now we have got loads of tweets going on as well. So like, hello everybody out there in the Twitter world. We do want to still hear from you. So do give us a tweet at Bunk Extra with an X with the hashtag BeExtraBeBunker. Let us know how are you, what you've been up to. You liking this rain?
Have a shout out anytime in the next 53 minutes.
Exactly.
Can I just do a quick shout out to some of the people? Tony Burke from at Chips and Drinks. We always look forward to our Friday fix of Business Extra, Bunker Extra. We love listening to their banter and informative and knowledgeable guests. And we certainly have one today from Port Lim. A great way to end a busy working week. So that's Tony Burke from Chips and Drinks. Richard Bell, Security Speak. Have a great show, guys.
Hi, Richard. Very nice.
Thank you very much, Richard.
So we have got loads of tweets going on. We're just going to just say about last week's show. So last week's show, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes was our co-host and our guest was Peter Allen from Beresford's, I got it right, accountants.
And another guest as well. Didn't you have and his daughter?
My daughter.
And your daughter.
Yes. Don't Peter have a heart attack? And my daughter was in last week, yes. But if you did miss that show, we had a great show learning more about Peter and some really important accountancy stuff, actually. And I know you go, accountancy, but it was actually quite interesting. So do check out the show. It is available on bizradio.co.uk. Click on the extra tab and all the previous shows are there. I have got to say about this tweet we've got from Chris Hyde. Chris, you made me giggle. So they've changed their Twitter handle so that people can spell it. So Chris's company is called Chameleogenics. And of course, we always have to try and spell Chameleogenics out over the Twitter. So they've now changed it to at Camgenics. So that's C-A-M-G-E-N-I-X. Camgenics.
Camgenics.
So if you want to follow Chris at Chameleogenics, check out Camgenics on the Twitter.
Thank you, Chris.
And I'm loving the picture of Pascal, the chameleon.
Yeah. And just a quick one for Fruitworks co-working. Yes, please, Bunker Extra. Can we have a shout out? Community workspace, hot desking, and venue for speakers platform. I think they're celebrating coming off for 6 years now.
They are.
Fantastic. Yeah, really, really good contribution in Canterbury.
Continuing to just get bigger and better.
Yeah.
We've had one. I'm very, very jealous of Kate from Athelbray Limited, at Athelbray Limited on the Twitter. Making the most of Friday and enjoying some English sparkling wines and lunch at Rathney Estate in Sussex. If you're looking for a remarkable site for an event, cannot recommend them highly enough. The food and drink is pretty special too. It looks amazing. And in fact, I have actually just connected with these guys on LinkedIn. Now looking to sort of spread out into Sussex, etc. And it looks amazing. And yes, we are jealous. Isn't it a bit early for sparkling wine? Hang on, it's not even 12 o'clock yet, Kate. are you just that what you're going to be having for lunch today? But there's your shout out, Kate, from Athelbray.
It's mid-morning refreshments. That's okay.
You're allowed to, are you? Okay. That's fine. And we will say good morning to Pink Spaghetti at Pink Spaghetti. underscore Emily on the Twitter, who's always listening. It's great to have you with us. Hi, Emily. Oh, we've got one from Maximum Medium, listening to the Bunker Extra show today. Hi, Ben Abbott. Ben Abbott, who is speaking at one of the events we're going to speak about in a bit, the Networkers Networking event. We're going to have him on the show in a couple of weeks as well. So good morning, Ben. Thank you for listening. Do keep on shouting out during the show. You've done Chips and Dinks, haven't you? And Fruitworks. Oh, well, and there's one from Mark Goldfinch. Oh, there it is, you.
Yes, I'm on, available on multiple channels.
Absolutely. We're here all, I'd like to say you're here all day. Can you imagine? Chris, you thought you was here for an hour. You're not. You're here for the entire day.
Judging by that the sheaf of papers that he's brought to explain all the things that have happened in the last year, are we going to get through them in?
We've got lots of events to talk about, but we're going to do the events at the end of the show today because I can't wait any longer to speak to Chris. Yeah. So, Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us again today.
No, it's a pleasure.
It's great to have you here. As we already said, we know that it's my most favourite place in the whole entire world now. But I'm really, really excited because every time I go, and yes, okay, I go quite often, there is still something new happening. There's always something extra to see. And you've got so many more accommodations. Let's jump straight in.
Since I was last on the show, we've opened four new accommodation units or types of units. Mm. And we started off with our forest hideaways, which are like little forest dens in amongst the pine trees at the very top of our park, very secluded, amazing things. We've opened Wolf Lodge, which was one of the big gatehouses to the park. And that's where you've got wolves in your garden.
Oh, I was going to say, because I know with the lodge is set down on the main track, but then obviously it's all fenced in. So do the wolves actually come down into the area where the lodge is?
Yeah, the wolves have got a fantastic big enclosure, excuse me, and they come down, wander down, and they sit in front of the glass in the garden, and people sit there by a nice log fire watching them doing their antics.
Can I just do a, because obviously you are so enthusiastic and exuberant.
Yes.
And you know
I'm biased.
But just in case there are, this goes out all over the world. So
that's
just in case
true.
There are any people who don't know what Port Lim is.
Yes.
Could you just explain for us?
Good idea, Mark.
I was there quite recently. I was there for one of the
Networkers Networking.
Plus I visited the Roman Castle the week afterwards as well. So I was one of your neighbours, the Roman Castle there. So
it is a tremendous
landscape. It's one of, it's an ancient landscape. Mm. It is a very interesting stately home in its own right. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the country's largest wildlife parks. And it is a leading conservation pioneer as well.
Absolutely. So, well, you know it as well as I do.
it's an awesome place. So
it is. It's
just tell us a bit more about that and then we can go into the details.
Yes, we should. Yeah, good idea, Mike.
600 acres of safari land and accommodation is dotted about across that. The escarpment is fantastic, as you say.
Looking ancient cliff, isn't it? Yeah.
Looking down onto the marsh and the channel and across to France.
Yeah, you can see about 60 miles from there, I think. Yeah.
It's amazing.
You can see south of Boulogne anyway. So
An amazing place. Certainly with the weather we've had recently, it's just very hot, but amazing.
Yeah.
And we are very much into conservation. We aim at various things across the world, but Western lowland gorillas, black rhino, lemurs. So we got places in Java, Madagascar, the Congo, millions of acres over there where we're reintroducing the animals that we care so much about.
I guess that's the thing as well. A lot of people, there's still quite a lot of narrow mindset about wildlife parks and zoos and blah blah blah, and they're terrible. You know, put the animals back to their natural habitats. But what people don't realise is they're being hunted to extinction in their natural habitats.
Yeah, the habitats are being destroyed.
The
species are actually being hunted.
Yeah,
and there are huge problems in Africa. You know, the population is growing immensely, and you have more roads, you have more towns sprawling out. It's
also
difficult.
All the illegal bush
poaching.
Trade, isn't
illegal
it?
Poaching
and everything.
Yeah.
And that's what's amazing about what Aspinall Foundation does. It's it's rehabilitating, it's reintroducing these animals back into their native environments.
And educating and working with the local indigenous people to make sure they look after them, they understand the importance of the animals to their environment.
Yeah, because it can be a major asset to their communities and they can actually make money from those, so that you don't have to kill them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Killed the goose that lays the golden egg.
Yeah, exactly. That's another good thing, is they're not just, breeding them and putting them back. They're going onto reserves where they're protected, but they're also, as you say, you're re-educating the locals as well and helping them build their
and jobs for them.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
It's all hugely important, but the prime thing is obviously the animals themselves and getting them back to the environment that they belong into. We would love to close all the zoos and the animal reserves that we have, but we've got to keep endeavouring to keep these species going and get them back into the wild, as you say.
Yeah, I just saw on Twitter this week actually, Lille Zoo has started a red panda breeding program.
Oh, really?
With a British. So basically, a British one and a French red panda have finally got together, and hopefully they'll have little red pandas quite soon. That's over in Lille, so that's not far.
We work with a lot of reserves all around the world to make sure that keeping the genes right. And
no, this is a true international process, isn't it? Yeah. So just explain quickly, because obviously there are people who might not know.
Absolutely.
So you have Aspinall Foundation, and then you have the two parts of in Kent, the two locations in Kent, Howlett's and Portland.
Yes, John Aspinall, when he bought the two parks, wanted to breed animals that were endangered. He spent an awful lot of money on the houses. A lot of them were in disrepair, but they've been absolutely refurbished to a very, very high standard to what they originally done.
Yeah.
And it's grown from there. Very much loved his Western Lowland gorillas and tigers, and it was often seen, I believe, in London many years ago, walking his tigers through the park.
Really?
Yes. So I think that was one of the reasons he had to find somewhere else. But they are amazing places. What's really worked with us is building in accommodation so people can get the full value.
That's the thing, isn't it? And I guess that's where, thank you, Mark, for taking us back, because I forget, not everybody knows. Everybody should know what Portland is by now, but
well, this goes out all over the world.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. We do have listeners that may not know what Portland is. So bringing in the fact of and having the accommodations you've got so much space in Portland, so that people can then really appreciate the animals in their environments and see how relaxed and happy they actually are being in those environments.
They do have
as well.
Space. There's a lot of space
there.
Huge
amount of space. Mm. It's remarkable when you look at, we have at least one rhino enclosure that's probably the size of London Zoo, which is, it's great to be able to have that space. And I'm sure London would love to have that space as well. But you give them that freedom to roam and to feel that they're not under pressure to be seen by people.
Yeah, yes. they can hide and be themselves, not be stressed. It's actually turning the English countryside into a resource for species from all over the world, into a habitat. Because one of the things that struck me was the hawthorns, because in England, hawthorn is such a major part of England. And actually, that substitutes for an acacia or something.
Acacia trees, yes.
Acacia tree,
the giraffe loved them. And
who knew?
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. Paul, so we need to get some hawthorn in the garden when we get the giraffe.
When you get the giraffe.
Yeah. I keep saying I want one in the garden.
But with the heat, of course, lately, with the parks looking so brown, it just looked like you were on a safari.
Yes. It does. That's amazing. We were there on Sunday. Yes, yeah. I was there again on Sunday. And it was literally like being on safari because it was, very, very brown.
Very, very brown, yes.
It was great. But say within the accommodation, so we get back. So we had the.
We can talk about the accommodation.
It was great. Thank you. We're just so excited. But I love the idea of the fact with the wolf lodge and I guess with the rhino lodge as well now. So you're literally there right next to these animals.
Yes.
And people sometimes go, oh, isn't it a bit dangerous? But we were discussing off air how thick the glass is and the chances of the animals being able to get through. So the glass used can withstand the charge of a rhino.
Yes, certainly the ones in Tiger Lodge where the tiger's literally sleeping by the foot of your bed.
Yeah.
And we've got two of those now.
Yes.
We built another one this year. And we're adding a new addition, which is going to be called a Lion Hall. We've got two New York-type loft apartments that
join
together, but then also have the same kind of experience where the lions will come straight up to your bedroom window or your lounge window.
Where are they going to go?
They're at the top of the park as well. Pretty close to where the old wolf enclosure used to be. I don't know if you know, opposite where Pond.
Do I know it?
Yeah,
exactly. I give private tour guides around Portland.
Yes, of course. So those are great.
Because at the moment the lions are down the bottom, aren't they, in the carnival?
Absolutely, yeah. And it drops away down there, so sometimes it's very hard to see the lions, but the lions will be able to walk straight up to your window and you'll be able to sit there and...
It's so cool.
I guess it's one way glass, so they can't see you.
Oh no, they can see you.
Oh, they can.
Yes.
They're like, dinner.
Yeah. They probably think it's a takeaway.
Yeah, exactly.
They do. They settle down and they're quite relaxed. And I was amazed with the tigers. They just sleep there by the window, and children wake up in the morning. Oh my God, the tiger lion is my bed. Yeah. It's fantastic. It's a great experience. We've just done a bubble, big inflatable bubble, which is just amazing.
Literally is just a bubble.
Yeah.
There's two pods next to each other.
It's two big pods with an ensuite pod at the back.
So it's for accommodation. It's a bubble, an accommodation in a bubble. Okay.
It's 180 degrees viewing. So you see the stars, you see the views out across the Romney Marsh, and you can see the rhinos in the fields, and it's just an amazing place. And it's just gone wild. We only opened it 3 weeks ago, and the bookings have just gone crazy. We've got about 3 or 4 nights left this year.
Why is it you always come in? Tell me about these exciting things. Last year when you came on, Tiger Lodge was fully booked, and
no. Yeah, well, Tiger Lodge is fully booked.
Yeah, both of them. I'm not surprised.
Get in early. I mean, that's the secret. I mean, people are more after experience holidays these days rather than just lying on a beach, which I was doing this time last Friday.
Can't do
that very often. No. It wouldn't be good. I'd go rusty today. But people are actually more generally after, experience holidays, especially families together, to do something which is an experience. And what better than going to see
really
endangered wildlife?
People have come from all over the world to stay in Tiger Lodge. From India, believe it
or not. Oh, really?
India, Japan, America, especially to stay in Tiger Lodge.
But in its high-quality accommodation as well, isn't it? It's not slumming it by any stretch of the imagination. No, this is very sophisticated.
It is very, very sophisticated. And Damien's wife, Victoria, has done all the internal design on this.
Oh, okay.
Very, very well done.
I think that's a nice thing as well, though, that you know, the Aspinall Foundation family still have like hands on. They're not like, oh, you know, well, we own it, but you know, they're so hands on involved. And I didn't realise that Victoria had involved in the designing as well.
I think you get a passion for it, don't you? You care about the animals and you care about the future. Not just the animal, the individuals, but actually the species, you know, and the communities that surround them as well. You know, it is a holistic approach.
Is that when you get there and you go down to base camp, when you queue in to go on the safari, there's two huge signs up. And one of them is about all the animals already extinct. And then there's one of the animals that are on the verge of being extinct, and it really just hits home. It's like,
very much so.
It's
one of those moments. Yeah. Where you just, oh my God, yeah. You know, this is what it's all about.
It's crazy. And it's just, so we've got the lodges. So we've got Rhino Lodge and Wolf Lodge. You've got the bubble.
Forest hideaways. Yes.
How many forest hideaways are there?
Three.
There's three up there.
Yeah, and then we recently purchased the French house, and I'll have to remember what it was called. It's a Wealden Hall house, 16th century.
Because it's already on the land, isn't it, at the top?
It joins our land at the top, yes.
Yeah.
And it was owned by Sassoon, and it's rumoured that's where he kept his lover.
There's
a bit of a story about it. But the plan is to turn that into Giraffe Manor, similar to what they've got in Kenya, in Nairobi.
Oh, yeah.
Can I book now?
Well, you could go on a website and put an interest in, and if you don't mind me reading it out, I'm not very good at it.
No, please do, yeah.
It's blog, it's aspinallfoundation.org/introducing-giraffe-manor@portlim-hotel reserve.
We can put this on the website.
Yeah, I'll go. We'll put it on the website. Yeah.
But, and you could express an interest to be contacted when this when it's ready. So it's going to be a 10-bedroom hotel. You'd have weddings up there. We'd be able to have functions up there. We're planning to have the giraffes wandering around, and they will be putting their heads through windows.
Yes, yes.
While you're eating breakfast and all sorts of things. So it's a massive, massive big investment for us, but yeah, we think it's going to be tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I didn't couldn't get any more excited about this place, yeah. I just have. But it's just, it's really funny because I took some friends there at the weekend. Obviously, everybody that knows me knows I love it. And we went there and she said, she put a post on Facebook. She said, I now understand why Amanda loves it here so much, because it just, you just, when you're there, the feeling is just, you're just calm and relaxed, and it's just a lovely environment, and you could spend an hour there, you can spend an entire day there. Oh, and there's always so much to do and see, and I am, it's on my bucket list, Paul, to stay in several of the accommodations, but just to experience it also at night time. I'd love to do the dusk safari and all that type of thing, because you see so many different things every time that you go, and just to having something like that. And I think the giraffe manor is such an amazing idea to have that, because you know the giraffes are so lovely and you just see them wandering around. And I went a few weeks ago and they were walking alongside the trucks, and they were like, and one stood in front of the truck and it's like, no, I'm not moving. Yeah, have to wait. And obviously you wait for them to move, and but they're just so peaceful. Everyone there is just so peaceful, and it's lovely to see. And just to have, obviously being in events, I always love to look for unique venues to work with, and you can't get anything more unique than Port Lim. Even just the manor house itself, having that to host an event, and the fact that you've got the accommodation, you know, I'm looking at bringing, I work with clients and we're bringing them out of London to come and do a weekend away or a 2-day event, whereas they come, do what they're going to do, have their training, have their seminars, stay overnight, and then experience the reserve on the next day. And it's just, why would you want to be stuck in, you know, a proxy hotel in London doing something when you can come somewhere an hour out of London, and you've got so much choice and variety of what you can do there. So
we've licensed most areas of the park now for weddings. So we've got weddings booked for Bear Lodge. We've got, you know, as we just said, the Giraffe Manor that we licensed for weddings. The hotel's licensed for weddings. We've added in a marquee so that we can increase the number of weddings we do. We think we'll do about 66 weddings this year. And that some of them are fantastic. You know, we had two of the Routemaster London buses last week in a massive wedding coming down. Causes us a little bit of disruption, but
yes, it was,
that's okay, isn't it? It's part of the atmosphere.
And these guys had come down from London and all over, and they were absolutely amazed when they saw what the park was all about.
Yeah.
So Paul's just messaged and he said, I wonder where we're going to be staying every weekend. Yep. Two rights.
It's a voyage of discovery.
Well, to avoid that, just buy me a giraffe and put it in the garden.
I get to work there every day, and every day is amazing. Yeah, and the people there, that from the keepers to the, you know, they are so professional in the way they look after the animals, but they're devoted to them at the same time.
How many people work at Port Lim?
Well, this time of year we'll probably have about 350 at Port Lim.
And they're all different specialisations, aren't
everything
they?
Everything from housekeepers to hosts, to keepers, to gardeners, maintenance, a raffle of things that has to be done to keep that a park that size going.
Do you have any... I've got two questions. Basically, first is, do you have any problems recruiting? I guess there are lists for many of these. But the other one is, what is the strangest job title that Paul Lim has? That might throw you, because I guess there might be
shoveler.
One or two. Yes, there's sort of a, you know, sort of a white wolf wrangler or something like that.
Nothing as strange as that. But we do have a couple of guys who they do a tremendous job emptying all the cesspits and the digesters around the park on a day-by-day basis, you know. And to do that, it takes a lot of devotion, and they're fantastic at it. I mean, I couldn't, personally, but they go along, they go around, they do the job, they always smile. And they'll chat to guests and visitors, and you know, happily go about their job.
And that is another thing as well. I think what helps the environment is everyone you see walking around, they've got smiles on their face, everybody's happy, everyone's so friendly and welcoming, and it's, I think, it just makes such a difference in the environment, that everybody feels welcome, and it feels like it is my second home, but they feel like it is their second home, because you don't feel out of place there, which is lovely.
Obviously, I've been there during the day, but you've introduced the new quite a large range of accommodation. But actually, being there at night, their sounds will be completely different, and the sounds will travel.
Oh yes,
as sounds do at night in the countryside. So it must be quite special.
It is very, very special. I was talked to a lady yesterday who'd spent 3 nights in Rhino Cottage, and she was just.
Did you actually have to go and evict her in the end because she didn't want to leave?
Don't tell them. Don't give them that. That's about me.
Came very close, but she said she'd got up early every morning just to listen to the sounds.
I bet.
And to see the rhino coming up and the deer coming up, and then you could hear the lions, you could hear the howling monkeys going, talking to each other across the park.
Extraordinary.
And I think she said she'd stayed in every type of accommodation, so you've got some catching up to do.
Don't worry, I'm there, I'm on it, saving up as we speak. And also, I know the bosses now, so anyway. Yes. I might have a word with them. Yeah. Right, well, we're going to have a little bit of a musical break now, and then we'll come back after this to finish speaking with Chris. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2 on Friday the 10th of August. My co-host today is the fabulous Mark Goldfinch.
Hello.
Hello. Right. And our guest is Chris Kelly, who is Short Breaks Director of the best place in the whole entire world, Port Lim. We'll be back on. You're going to love the tune I have chosen for today. Do you know what it is yet, Mark?
I can't.
Really?
Paul Simon.
No, no. Is it? Hey, here it comes. Africa.
Perfect.
Hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, "Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you. Gonna take the life to drag me away from you. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I bless the rain out in the night as they grow restless, longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Africa.
Yeah, yeah, I love that song. Yeah. Welcome back. You are listening to the Business Bunker Extra on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 10th of August. I'm joined in the studio today by my fabulous co-host, Mark Goldfinch.
Hi, Amanda. Hi, everybody.
And our guest today is the fabulous Chris Kelly, who is the short breaks director at the most amazing... I need to stop oozing so much about it, don't I? But he's in the world at Port Lim. We've just been discussing with Chris literally all about Port Lim, a little bit of the history, what it is, where it is, and the amount of amazing work they've been doing down there with the accommodations and just making it just a whole environment for people to experience these animals, really.
Absolutely.
And I guess what we mustn't forget with all of the excitement, with everything amazing they're building, is the reason it's there and the reason everything's been done.
Our prime reason is the animals.
Yeah, exactly. It's the long-term preservation and future Absolutely. Of the animals and the species.
Absolutely.
So how much does it, has it cut the upkeep of this project? How much does it cost?
Well, just to give you some idea of how expensive it is to look after animals and to give them the right kind of diets, we spend over £1 million a year just on food for them.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
And wow. If it's not good enough for human consumption, then it's not good enough for our animals.
Yeah.
So, we take a very great deal of care to just make sure we've got the right diets for them and so forth. So that just that alone makes what we do hugely important.
Absolutely.
Especially in hot weather we've had recently where we didn't have as many Davis as we thought we would have because a lot of people went to the beach. The accommodation was full, and that obviously then helps to support what we're doing around the world and in Port Lim and over at Howlett's.
Mm. So every ticket... day ticket, every night accommodation, that contributes towards the upkeep and the establishment, but also the long-term future of the species.
Absolutely. You know? We're a charity, so it's non-for-profit. It's about putting everything we make back into what we do, and it's a great thing to work for.
Yeah.
Sorry, Paul's just messaged me saying he could eat £1 million worth of food a year as well. Yeah, we know you can. We have had a tweet from Ben at Maximum Media. He's saying they love Port Lim, and ever since they went there for the first visit, which was when they came to my event there, the Networkers Networking event, he can't wait to be able to stay at Wolf Lodge. And I believe Ben's going to come along to the charity event I'm doing there in October as well. So I think you just go there once. You go there once and then you can't help yourself but fall in love with the place.
Yeah, it does become rather addictive. As our host today...
I'm trying to calm down. Should take some Valium before the show.
Well, it's like when I came down to Port Lim, I was asked to come down to do a job, a specific job for 6 months, and that was 6 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I still live in Worcester, so I still commute.
Oh, wow.
So that's love, I'm afraid.
It is, it is. But as you say, as we're saying, though, it's not just about running something. It's about caring for these animals. And that's why, because the Aspinall Foundation do a lot of, obviously, fundraising and do their own charity events as well, don't they?
Yes.
They had a fun run, didn't they, in Port Lim. Was that in July?
Yeah, they have 5K and 10K fun runs.
Yeah, and then do a one at Howlett's.
Some of those hills are brutal.
Oh,
it's not somewhere I really want to do a 5 or 10K.
I won't even walk it.
No. Well, I can help
it. No.
What were you saying earlier? Catch the bus back up.
Yeah, so just a little just a little tip for those people that haven't been to Port Lim yet and want to. You do really need to go. And even although if the weather's if it's wet, if it's whatever, it's very protected there. So we went on Sunday when it was hot, but it was actually quite cool because it's, obviously there's lots of trees, so it's very protected. But never walk back up. It's a very steep, steep hill. So always walk down. And when you get to the bottom of the carnivore section, you can catch the bus back up.
And when we say bus, it's listeners,
yes.
It's actually, they are four-ton converted army trucks.
Yeah, and maintaining those is an art in its own right.
Yeah, well, driving those is as well by some of the experiences we've had. Missed a gear again.
No power-assisted steering on those, I'm afraid.
No, I've driven them and I've been in the back on exercises and things. So it was very strange. So, yes, there are different types of bus, but this is particularly a good experience, actually.
Yeah. It is, and it's quite nice. I was just thinking, actually, with that, with the guides that you have. Now, I've always just done the main ones. I think I had one private tour guide once, but the amount of knowledge from all of the guides and the keepers and everything, but you can hear their passion coming out as well. So, you know, and every tour I've been on around the safari, so basically if you don't know Port Lim, you can go on the African and Asian safari, which is you get on one of these big old truck thingies and you go around the reserve and see the different animals, but each of the guides tells you about the animals, and you know, they spot something, they stop, and so you get to learn something new every time.
Absolutely,
so.
Very, very knowledgeable. And of course, those safari tours are all inclusive in the admission as well.
They are. Yeah. We have an annual. You won't be surprised. We have an annual membership.
Good.
surprise. And you can go as many times as you want in that. So it's worth every single penny. But you can go on the I've lost track of what I was going to say now, on the safaris, but you learn something new every time, which is great. And there's so much enthusiasm that comes through from the people. And you also see something different every time. Now, the amount of different animals you've got as well now. You've got camels.
We had some new Bactrian camels.
The new camels. Yeah. And there's more ostriches as well.
Yes.
The whole little family of them now.
They laid their eggs out on the savannah there.
Well, they actually laid them out there, did they? Oh, wow. I didn't realise that.
So they obviously feel at home.
Oh, gosh.
You know, they don't feel threatened at all.
No.
Amanda, what's your favourite animal?
Giraffe.
I think I know the answer.
Yes. Don't take me a minute to say it. Giraffe.
What is it about giraffes that you like? Is it the grace?
They're so graceful and elegant and,
they never seem to be in any hurry to do anything, do they?
And they're just so lovely. And in fact, one time we went, I'm sorry, I keep talking about when I went, but one time we saw, and a few of them were laid down at the top of the savannah. I'm like, they're just like, you know, chilling out. Yep, just having a lay down. I've never seen that giraffe slaying down like that in that environment. And sometimes you get them following the trucks because they're after.
Oh, yeah. Because they like to browse, so they know some of the trucks will have some browse with them, and they'll put the heads through, and the visitors are feeding the giraffes. When they get their big purple tongue around the leaves and they pull them back through the teeth, it's amazing. And hanging on for grim death, very, very powerful.
Yeah, it is cool.
Chris, do you have any particular favourites yourself?
My favourite is the gorillas.
Oh, the gorillas,
love to just sit and look at them and try to imagine what they're thinking. And I'm sure they're doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
And they look. You know, and if you look too hard at them, especially the silverback, then you're threatening. So that's you've got to look down, and so I do. I look down, so I don't want to threaten him. I want him to stay there, enjoying his peace and solitude in some cases. But he's a fantastic animal. Absolutely fantastic.
Now, one of the things actually I did want to touch on was briefly was the fundraising different activities that go on. Because I know, for example, funnily enough, I know about the Giraffe Lodge, the Giraffe House was donated by Vic Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
From his
good old Vic Reeves.
Yeah. Yeah. His fee he got from I'm a Celebrity and what was that one he did? Oh, Celebrity Million. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah, and he bought the Giraffe House and this nice big plaque on it. So I guess you get a lot of interaction from famous people and donations.
Yeah, we had Pixie Lott there this week for 3 days with her family. Absolutely adored it.
You have had Gemma Collins there.
We've had all sorts.
Gemma Collins came to our charity event there last week. So, last year.
I guess I've been a bit flippant here, but I guess it's nice that the celebrities can go there, or you know, VIPs can actually go there in the knowledge that the paparazzi will get eaten.
Yes, yes. Right. Exactly.
We're very protective of them. If I don't want publicity, then it's fine. And we very kindly they tend to tweet and
which is always
show
good.
Pictures and things that helps us know.
And so you, the Aspinall Foundation, have got a charity event in October. So on the 20th, sorry, mine's on the 19th, so it's the 20th, which is the Monkey
Quizness.
And then we've got I'm hosting one on there on the 19th of October, which is the Friday, which is the Chimps and Tricks. I have to say that very carefully because I just realised...
Because you hosted a great event last year.
Last year we did the Gorillas and Gowns charity fashion show, which was awesome.
That was amazing.
It was really... that's why I didn't want to do one this year, because I don't know if I could outdo last year's.
Of course you can.
Well, we'll give it a good try. I will give it a good try. I mean, certainly what happened was we had two Kent designers, one of them Caroline Bruce. Hello, Caroline. Caroline Bruce Designs, who does amazing dresses. And we had a 12-year-old boy called Josh Birch Jones, who designs women's clothing, a capsule collection where the women can turn their day wear into nightwear for, you know, the corporate businesswoman. It was awesome. We raised £6,500. We had great people, over 100 people there. We had the fashion show. We had a fantastic auction and lots of fun going on. So it was really great. So this year we're going to carry on. We're going to do a completely different theme because the fashion show wouldn't work again. It was amazing and it was one off. So I've been racking my brains to do something as unique. We are going to bring a bit over. Caroline is going to have a couple of her unique dresses there on display, just so we'd bring the fashion show over a bit. We're doing the Chimps and Tricks. So basically this year, the project that the Aspinall Foundation are working towards is the Megafauna Project, where do correct me if I'm wrong because I keep getting most of the details wrong, but basically they're looking to rehabilitate an area in Africa, and I can't pronounce the name of it, the Latek.
Don't ask me.
No, exactly. I got it. Let me just find, where have I written it down? Yeah, Batek Plateau region. Is one of the regions, and what they're doing is they're reintroducing all different species to the area to reintroduce the fauna and the animals, because there has been spotted a lion that was considered, that they were thought was extinct.
Absolutely. He's been
lioness. She's been seen in this region, so they're looking to repopulate it.
So it's basically a whole ecosystem.
Exactly.
Obviously there'd be top predators and then a food chain, and it all has to interact, doesn't it?
It's a long term ecosystem. Does it takes a long, long time to do, but once you get, if you get that right at the start with the fauna and obviously the food chain, it sounds awful, doesn't it?
No, but it's true. It's a circle of life, nature, isn't it?
The ecosystem.
Yeah, I like the ecosystem. It's a good way of putting it.
I'd probably get a slap for saying food chain.
And what the first animals they're looking to put back is the regionally extinct mandrills, which are, if you don't know what mandrill is, it's a type of monkey, really, isn't it? Primate. To reinforce the low numbers of chimpanzees, hence the name Chimps and Tricks. I was hesitant about doing one this year because last year was so good, but the foundation did ask me to come back and do another one. I am very, very excited about doing it. So we're having the chimps. We won't have chimps in the actual function, but obviously they'll be around somewhere. But in Tricks, so we're bringing magicians down.
Oh, wow.
So basically the whole evening is going to be people who will arrive to the manor house and experience the beauty that is the Portland Manor House.
Which it is, yes.
For reception, drinks and canapes. And then we're going to stroll on down to the Lime Grove marquee that they have set up there now. And in the marquee, we're going to be having a couple of hours of entertainment with three amazing magicians who are going to each be doing different types of magic.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple of casino tables set up. So all the money you lose will go straight to the charity.
You might win 14 some as well. On blackjack.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I won $1,000 at the Marriott in Cairo.
Oh, was it?
That's another story.
That's a story we're happy here. And so we're going to have a couple of hours of entertainment with that. So we've got the magicians working. We're going to have food continuously flowing from the fabulous caterers, Chives Catering, who are going to be giving us, it's almost like a revolving, moving buffet. So you're going to be continuously supplied with food and drink. And then we're going to have the auction. And the auction prizes, pledges are going to be amazing. Last year we had some amazing pledges from Port Lim themselves, some stays in the accommodation, which went really well, didn't we? We had to raise some good money from those, yep. Animal experience, etc. So, and we have some portraits as well, some paintings come in and some photographs and everything. So a really nice range of auction prizes. Then we're going to end the evening by dancing the night away to Jason Allen Sway and his swing band.
Oh, terrific. Okay.
Yes, so yeah. It's a whole big mixture of different glitzy, glamorous and super fun evening. And we're looking to beat our target of 6,500. So yeah. we want to raise as much as we can to help with the megafauna project. And these chimps and mandrills are the first animals going back. It was so, you know what, last year we was helping with the project of the four brothers who were shipped to Congo. They were born and bred here in Kent. They were actually in Howlett's. They were born, wasn't it? And then they lived at Portland for a while, and then they got shipped last October to the Congo.
Yeah.
And I actually followed their process, the progression of them being shipped out there, and then when they were being released. And we keep on getting little snippets now of how they're doing over there.
Absolutely.
And they're thriving, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Moving further and further away from where they were originally put, so they're starting to build. Create areas for themselves, so it should be. It's a fantastic project, and
yeah.
And I know Damien goes over there regularly just to ensure it's delivering what we wanted to deliver. Mm. And some of the gorillas remember him and just go and find him. And
that's always. I think that's always amazing.
Say hi, have a drink.
Yeah,
it's very much like that. It's like, oh, hello, mate. I haven't seen you for ages.
Gorillas. How long do they live in the wild? Or
they don't live as long as they do in captivity.
No,
but 30 odd years, 50 odd years in captivity. I think we had one recently, 55 years old.
Mm, goodness, yeah. So long lives, and they're intelligent
memories,
creatures.
Yeah, very intelligent. Yeah,
that's crazy. It's just. Well, as I say, everyone can tell how enthusiastic I am about this place. And I'm just honoured to be part of helping to raise funds for them, really.
So what dates were those two events again? So it's basically Monkey Quizness.
Is the Saturday, the 20th of October.
Yes.
And the Chimps. I should have changed the name. Exactly. Okay, Mark, go on, you try it.
Chimps and Tricks.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's
always Tricks and Chimps.
The Chimps and Tricks charity event at Port Lim, which is on Friday the 19th of October from 6 to 11.30. It's just £55 per person. All proceeds are going to
charity. Which is only 2 months away. So
which
it's
is only
not
2 months
that,
away.
It's
no,
not that far
it's
away.
Coming up yeah. soon. If you want to come along, do just book on. Go to the website butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/chimps-tricks.
Okay.
As you can probably tell, I could talk... And talk about. I can talk
You'll
and talk anyway. I can talk and talk
again
anyway, but I can talk and talk about Port Lim all day. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm so excited.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's so great just to hear and say so much has happened in a year and still progressing. So it's fantastic. So if people want to find out, what's the easiest place for them to go to?
Go to the website.
Yeah, aspinallfoundation.org.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go on there. And also they are on Twitter at Port Lim Park. And on Facebook, Port Lim. So check it all out. Because that was the other thing. We've got to mention, obviously, all the babies that have been born.
Oh, gosh.
And they had webcams with the giraffes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And how frustrating did that get? You're like, just have the baby already.
Yeah,
check in every day.
You have live feeds from the webcam.
130,000 watching that?
I wouldn't be surprised. 130,000
people. 130,000
people. Watching. Yeah. Because
the live feed.
The live feed in the giraffe house waiting for the... and you actually saw the birth of the baby giraffe.
Right.
Have they named it yet?
No, it's part of a competition.
Is the competition still going? Okay, because my daughter will be very happy because she said if they haven't finished the competition, she wanted to come up with, what was the name she said? Because Luna's the mum.
Mm-hmm.
She came up with a name now. I have to ask what it is. It was something from My Little Ponies, but Luna's the mum and it was a My Little Pony daughter. So.
Okay.
But it was a really good name. It worked really well for giraffe. So
okay.
I will endeavour to enter that competition. To name the giraffe. That was so cool.
Oh,
brilliant.
Gosh, yeah. Named after your daughter's
My Little Pony, favourite My Little Pony thing. Can you imagine? Oh, free pass to see it every day. Thank you so
You're
much.
Very welcome.
Right, let's try and come down to earth a little bit. But we will.
We've got some events.
We have got some amazing events.
Well, some
to talk
more
about.
Events.
I have
some
just do got a couple of shout outs. There is a shout out request from Liquid Computing.
L Computing
on the Twitter. Could we have a shout out, please, Bunker Extra? We are the IT specialists based out of
Molash,
Kent. Where's Molash?
It's between here and Faversham.
Okay, thank you very much. Focusing on IT security, web development, and much more. First time listeners, well, welcome, Liquid Computing. We hope you're enjoying the show. We always love to have new listeners and love to find out more about you. So thank you for tweeting in, and there is your shout out. And Gemma's just tweeted, we know you love Port Lim. Okay, I'll try to calm it down a bit. People must get bored of how much I love it there. Let's talk events, Mark. What have you got over there?
I've got a couple of events, some really interesting ones, starting with one on the 16th of August. So take note of this. ZC Social Media Academy, Tuesday, 16th of August, 2 p.m. to 4:30 at the lovely Dragon Co-working, St. George's Hotel in Chatham. So come along and learn some quick wins and latest news and updates on social media. Zoe Cairns will be speaking. There's nothing she doesn't know about social media.
Yes, that's very true.
So come along. But due to the fact that this is a free event, please only book if you want to actually attend.
Yeah.
So book your free place. www.zcsocialmedia.co.uk.
Fantastic. The Business Diaries. It's time for the next Business Diaries, and that is coming up very soon, Thursday the 13th of September from 6:45 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Innovation Centre again. Join us for the next entertaining evening of storytelling. Each session will be bringing storytellers ready and willing to pass on their lessons learned, the ups and downs of business, and give a taste of their life in their shoes. It's not about pitching, it's about hearing their stories. It's an amazing event.
It is an amazing event. Yeah.
I don't know if Elise has started releasing the speakers yet. I haven't seen anything, but as soon as we know who the speakers are, we'll start letting you know. It is just £10, which covers the nibbles and drinks. And if you go to Eventbrite and search the Business Diaries, you can book on via that.
Yeah, Medway Innovation Centre. So it's a great event. So I've got Tuesday, the 4th of September, the Professional Speaking Association Southeast. Tuesday, the 4th of September. This is a day event, 10 a.m. in the morning until 4:30 p.m. at the Inn on the Lake in Gravesend. One day event hosted by the Professional Speaking Association Southeast, sponsored by SageBiz Meetup. And there are, well, some of the highlights of the day: Simon Hazeldine, Why By You, Alexander Lowe, Social Selling, and Barnaby Winter, Building Your Brand.
Fantastic event.
Yeah. So get along. Tickets just £60, lunch included at a fantastic venue. Visit Eventbrite PSA Southeast.
Fantastic. Now, we are running out of time, so let's just zoom through these last ones. 12th of September, 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Fruitworks in Canterbury, the Speakers Platform. Are you a speaker? Would you like to practice your speaking skills? Would you like to use your skills to win a competition? The Speakers Platform is a competition for speakers who are non-professional currently but are looking to improve the speaking and become professional speakers. It's on Wednesday the 12th of September from 6:30 p.m. at Fruitworks in Canterbury. The judges we've got for this are Paul Andrews, who's a former professional speaker, Jane Farnham, who's the director of the Great British Speakers, and Amy McManus, who is this year's Business Female Speaker of the Year. Go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk, the Speakers Platform.
Can't wait for that one.
One more date for your diary, and then this will have to be the last one, unfortunately, because we ran out of time. Thursday the 27th of September, the next Networkers Networking event.
Oh, yes.
Three great speakers: Paul Andrews, Brian Wakefield, Ben Abbott. Hear their stories of networking, what they learnt and how they've benefited from it. Early bird tickets are only available for the next couple of weeks. So that's the Networkers Networking event, Thursday the 27th of September. It's at Brands Hatch Place. Go to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/NNE.
It's and a great we have events
now,
coming up.
It is. We run out of time. There's so many events coming up now. Thank you both to my co-host Mark and our guest today, Chris Kelly. It's been amazing having you back on the show.
It's been great. Thank you.
No, I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Do listen in next week. My co-host is Fabulous Molly, and our guests are the very talented sisters, Karina and Adele Wilson, of Two of Harps.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a really fantastic story as well. So listen in. Don't forget to listen to The Bunker Show on Tuesday. Paul has some more great guests, and he'll be there from 1 till 3 on Tuesday, and we will be back next week. Goodbye for now.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2. Talk Radio.